It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Stopping the spread. Good afternoon. Welcome aboard. President Biden unveils a six-point action plan at 5 o'clock today, intended to curb COVID cases across the country.
It includes vaccinating the unvaccinated, which will likely include more mandates, furthering protection for the vaccinated, an update on booster shots, keeping schools safely open, increasing testing and requiring masking, protecting our economic recovery, and improving care for those with COVID-19.
Key to the president's strategy is a new executive order that he will sign this afternoon, mandating all federal workers get the COVID shot. That order includes millions of federal contractors. There will be no testing option anymore for them. Get the jab or lose your job.
I do think that there will be a challenge on the basis of overreach. I don't think that case will be successful so long as they make exceptions for those people for religious objections or for true health care emergencies.
Attorney Aaron Tandy speaking with Family Life earlier today. The White House says it hopes this executive order will be a model for the private sector to follow. The country's second largest school district, Los Angeles, votes today to require students 12 and up get the COVID shot. Correspondent Carrie Sanders.
In Los Angeles, about half of the students who are 12 and older are already vaccinated. This comes at the time when more than 1,000 colleges and universities have already established vaccine mandates for students to go on campus.
Students in LA will have to be fully vaccinated by January in order to enter school grounds. Over 1,000 schools across 30 states have shut down due to the spread of COVID. More than half of parents surveyed in a new USA Today poll fear a return to virtual learning. They're also concerned their children have fallen behind as a result of Zoom school.
You know, shutting down school, sending, you know, 20% of healthy children home to learn from an iPad just isn't acceptable to me.
The USA Today poll finds 55% of moms and dads believe online learning has caused their kids to fall behind in school. The Taliban today allowed 200 people, including Americans, to leave Afghanistan on a private flight from Kabul to Qatar. It's the first flight permitted to depart that country since our exit at the end of August. Still, Wisconsin Congressman Mike Gallagher says Americans are being held hostage by the Taliban.
And the price for getting our people out is going to be millions of dollars to the Taliban and international recognition. That's what I fear is coming next. It's not only a hostage situation, it's setting us up for a massive ransom payment to terrorists.
The former soldier says it's unthinkable that we are at the mercy of the Taliban for what happens to our citizens.
So we find ourselves in this crazy position of being entirely dependent on our new security partner in Afghanistan, the Taliban.
And while Americans are being allowed to leave Kabul today, six planes in the northern city of Mazar-i Sharif are still stuck on the tarmac. Secretary of State Tony Blinken.
The Taliban are not permitting the charter flights to depart. We are working to do everything in our power to support those flights. We've made clear to the Taliban that these charters need to be able to depart.
The Biden administration is defending its decision not to allow charter flights to land at U.S. military bases, even though some of those flights contain stranded Americans. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
We don't have a role in preventing flights from taking off. We are not on the ground. So the number of these planes, they may have a handful of American citizens. Are we going to allow a plane with hundreds of people where we don't know who they are to land on a U.S. military base?
And when it comes to Afghan refugees already in this country, Congressman Mark Green wants to know why those at a military base in Virginia are allowed to travel freely and unaccounted for.
They're letting them leave. They can catch an Uber and actually leave the base. They don't know exactly how many are even there, so they can't account for someone if they don't return.
Former President Donald Trump on the Greg Gutfeld show last night.
The country has never been more unsafe because of the travesty of Afghanistan. And if you look at the people coming in by the hundreds, by the thousands, are they terrorists? How many terrorists are coming in?
And in a bizarre development, Nidal Hassan, the radical Islamic terrorist who murdered 13 at Fort Hood back in 2009, he has written a letter from death row congratulating the Taliban on their takeover of Afghanistan. Things are heating up in the California recall election. The vote next Tuesday will decide whether California's embattled governor gets to keep his job.
Your vote could be the difference between protecting our kids and putting them at risk.
Former President Barack Obama is now joining Democratic allies in the fight to keep Governor Gavin Newsom in office. Having had some of the strictest lockdown measures in the country, it's become a key issue for both sides of the recall campaign.
A third of all small businesses are now gone because he refused to allow us to use our own common sense.
Republican frontrunner and talk radio host Larry Elder says he'll repeal mask and vaccine mandates. He was heckled by homeless advocates, one of whom threw an egg at the candidate during an L.A. campaign stop.
Carter Evans reporting that protester was also wearing a gorilla mask. Many saw that as a not-so-subtle racial insult. Larry Elder is a black conservative. The National Football League kicks off the 2021 season tonight in Tampa, Florida, where it ended last year. The Super Bowl champion Buccaneers take on the Dallas Cowboys with strict new COVID protocols in place. Unvaccinated players must get tested once a day. The vaccinated must get tested once a week. For fans, admission to most NFL games will require proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test. And still to come on the Noon Report for a Thursday, vaccine protests today in Dansville. Beaver Stadium welcomes back fans, and the Grape Festival is back in business in Naples, New York. But first, weather. Here's Kevin.
Well, good afternoon to all. We're looking at mixed conditions across our region this afternoon. Clouds, sun, a couple of showers and thunderstorms about. Forecast details are coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
All right, see you then. Thanks, Kevin. All 62 counties in New York now seeing high levels of COVID transmission. Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
Yeah, just 15 counties were in the red a month ago. Zero counties 8 weeks ago. Right now, three counties in upstate New York have the highest case rate in the state. That's St. Lawrence County in the worst shape, followed by Franklin and Tompkins counties. The CDC says the Delta variant is more than twice as contagious as previous variants, and the new variant may be even worse. Governor Hochul said a vaccine mandate for kids aged 12 to 17 is possible, but the state is just not there yet. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. Governor Hochul has also announced a new campaign to drive up vaccination rates among school-age children. Family Life's Bill Price has that story.
Yeah, Bob, the Vax to School initiative includes a new marketing campaign along with ready-made signs that schools can display to support the cause. Several new Vax to School pop-up sites will be opening up in areas with high rates of COVID transmission. There's also going to be a new website where parents and guardians can get the latest information about vaccines and how to schedule an appointment for their child. Bill Price, Family Life News.
All right, Bill, thank you very much. Governor Hochul says New York is ready to set up state-run booster shot sites once the federal government gives the green light to those shots.
It's all about a partnership. They need me to set up a mass vac site in Syracuse or in Buffalo. I can do it in a couple of days. If they can handle it with the resources locally, then we'll let them do that.
Hochul says the state's making $65 million available to help the booster shot effort at the local level.
We know that there's going to be a spike in the number of people who are now eligible, who've hit that eight-month mark, and we need to be ready for that.
Right now, only the Pfizer booster shot is available. Moderna and Johnson & Johnson's are still awaiting FDA approval. A vaccine protest will happen this afternoon at Noyes Hospital in Dansville, New York. Demonstrators will gather at 4 p.m. to voice their displeasure with the state's new vaccine rule for healthcare workers.
We are doing this because we believe that our freedom is being violated, our freedom to choose what we want to put in our bodies.
Hospital employee Cindy Buckley.
Most importantly, I think it's the concern of control. We feel that the government is trying to take over.
healthcare workers who refuse the jab could lose their job by the end of the month.
It doesn't matter if you're a nurse, secretarial, engineering, kitchen, every single staff member must be vaccinated or will lose their jobs as of September 27th.
She fears this vaccine mandate will only further exacerbate the worker shortage that many hospitals are facing right now. State Senator Brian Benjamin was sworn in today as New York's next lieutenant governor. The 44-year-old Harlem Democrat will assume the post that was previously held by Governor Hochul, who became chief executive after Andrew Cuomo resigned. A special election will be held to fill Brian Benjamin's Senate seat. A fan favorite fall festival back in business in Yates County, New York.
The popular Naples Grape Festival, which started in 1961, is back after taking 2020 off. The town of about 2,500 typically draws many times that number during the festival, which celebrates all things grape, from wine and fruit pies to music and even grape-themed art. There will be new COVID protocols in place, including a requirement that vendors show proof of vaccination. And the same goes for attendees who wish to enter the popular beverage garden for tastings. The festival runs September 25th and 26th. Mark Webster, Family Life News.
Thank you, Mark. Amtrak hosting a virtual roundtable tomorrow to discuss plans to expand passenger train service in Pennsylvania. Governor Wolf, Congressman Matt Cartwright, and the mayors of Allentown and Scranton will all be present. Amtrak's proposing 40 new routes across the country, including one that would link Reading with Philadelphia and New York City. Another Amtrak line would connect Allentown to New York City. Penn State football is back at Beaver Stadium this weekend, but the game day experience will be different from pre-pandemic years.
Penn State will host over 100,000 fans for the first time since the start of the pandemic this Saturday. Officials in Happy Valley have transitioned to 100% mobile ticket sales this season, so fans will have to show their smartphones to scanners in order to enter the stadium. Those without mobile devices will be allowed to print off their tickets at resolution booths before games. Penn State will take on Ball State for its first home game of the season this Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Things should be rocking in Happy Valley. Thank you very much, Brandon. More sports next. It's the 2-Minute Drill. Sonny's starting us off in Cooperstown.
Yeah, of course, there are four new members to the Baseball Hall of Fame, the 2020 class inducted during that ceremony in Cooperstown yesterday, but most of the crowd was there to see one man.
Derek Jeter.
Mr. November, Derek Jeter, giving love to the Yankees fans.
You know, there was only one thing in my life I wanted to be, and that was a shortstop for the New York Yankees. Now I'm a Yankee forever. And without question, you know, you helped me get here today as much as any individual I've mentioned.
Jeter was joined by fellow inductees Larry Walker of the Colorado Rockies, Ted Simmons of the St. Louis Cardinals, and former Players Association boss Marvin Miller. Jeter's Yankees could use him after Vladimir Guerrero Jr. did this.
That one is a missile, and it goes into the seats. It is 6-3 Blue Jays. A bullet off the bat of Guerrero.
His 41st home run in Toronto's 6-3 win. The Jays have won 10 of 11 games to climb a game and a half behind the Yankees for the second American League wildcard. The Yankees have lost 5 in a row, but this too shall pass, says Aaron Boone.
It's still in our hands, and we have to, you know, we have to be able to get past this.
Elsewhere, Brian Dela Cruz singled in the winning run in the bottom of the 10th. The Marlins walked off the Mets 2-1. The Mets are 4 games out of the East. The Phillies are 2.5 games back after they fall to the Brewers because the Nationals beat Atlanta 4-2. Pirates fall to the Tigers. Cleveland falls to the Twins. At the U.S. Open, history.
And Emma Raducanu from Great Britain creates history, becomes the first qualified in the Open era, male or female, to make it through to the semifinals of the U.S. Open.
The 18-year-old Raducanu has yet to drop a set. She'll face Maria Sakkari in the semis. The other teenager, 19-year-old Leila Fernandez, will battle number 2 seed Anayana Sabalenka. Novak Djokovic needed 4 sets to advance to the men's semi as he nears the calendar year Grand Slam. And tonight, the start of the NFL season, Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on the Dallas Cowboys. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphia.
All right, it's here. All right, thanks, Sonny. Still to come on the Noon Report, Biden's game plan for beating COVID, vax rules for healthcare workers, and tips on how to parent a strong-willed child.
A shared national memory is incredibly important to a national identity. It's very difficult to maintain. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Like many of you, I remember exactly where I was on Tuesday, September the 11th, 2001. I was preparing to teach a class, two of them, in fact, of college freshmen on the topic of Christian worldview. Obviously, that day, my plans for teaching changed. But I also had a very real example of the significance of understanding worldview to understanding the world around us. I remember the chaos. I remember the confusion. I remember thinking this has changed our world forever. And it did. Those of us that were alive and old enough on that day realized that this was an event of national significance. And yet, I've talked to so many parents and grandparents over the last several months who have realized that 9/11 is not a part of the story of this emerging generation. It's a distant memory. It's a distant history. Now, of course, the attack on Pearl Harbor, the Holocaust, the assassination of JFK, the moon landing, all of these are distant history for my generation as well. But we were a different type of citizenry. We were a type of citizen who had a shared national memory. That's something that many in the emerging generation simply do not have. I've been looking for resources to help teach the younger generation about 9/11. That's why I'm so excited for my friends at Drive Through History. This week, they will be releasing their special called 9/11, a Drive Through History special. It'll be released today, 9 p.m. Eastern, on YouTube over at the Drive Through History channel. Or you can see it Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern time at the Breakpoint Facebook page. The team over at Drive Through History was kind enough to give us a sample of the premiere special that they'll be airing for the public later on today and this weekend. Here's a listen.
After 9/11, we came together as Americans like I've never seen in my lifetime. First responders were applauded. Churches were packed. Radio stations played patriotic music. Sports stadiums honored the fallen. The military was revered. American flags flew on homes, schools, and businesses everywhere. Indeed, 9/11 was tragic, but I've never seen such American patriotism, unity, and resolve. While the country processed its grief, it also came together across religious, political, and ethnic divides. We were all just Americans. September 11th is a day to remember an attack on our homeland, an attack on our freedom, an attack on our very worldview. It's also a day to remember our fallen Americans and our selfless heroes. It's a day to remind new generations to stay vigilant in defending our country, our liberty, and our way of life. Once a year, on the anniversary of 9/11, a special tribute in light fills the Manhattan skyline. Two massive beams of light stretch toward the heavens, symbolizing the fallen Twin Towers. It's a profound way to remember the day we will never forget.
That was just a small taste of 9/11, a Drive Through History special. It's being released today at 9 p.m. Eastern over at the Drive Through History YouTube channel. And it will also be premiering on Facebook, the Breakpoint Facebook page, this Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Or just come to breakpoint.org where you can find a link to view the video. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
We're coming up on 20 past the hour. Kevin Williams, weather next.
Here is your family life weather forecast for this afternoon. Cloud cover is still stubborn, but breaking for some sun on the I-81 corridor. Farther west, clouds rebuilding with a couple of scattered showers and thunderstorms. High temperatures reaching the upper 60s to the middle 70s. Partly cloudy tonight with a stray shower off the lakes. Low temps, upper 40s to the mid 50s. Tomorrow, plenty of sun in Pennsylvania. A sun-cloud mix in New York with a slight shower chance. Relatively cool, upper 60s to the low 70s. And Saturday's a nice day, plenty of sunshine and turning warmer. A high Saturday well into the 70s.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. This is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price. Thanks for joining us today. A lot going on this Thursday, the 9th of September. President Biden will unveil a six-point action plan at 5 o'clock this afternoon to try and curb the spread of COVID. This will include a mandate that over a million federal workers in this country get the shot or risk being fired. The president says he hopes the executive order he signs today will be a model for the private sector to follow. A vaccine mandate for healthcare workers is facing opposition in New York.
Healthcare workers across New York State are being required to have at least the first dose of a COVID vaccine by September 27th. A protest was held in downtown Buffalo yesterday to end the statewide vaccine mandate. Many believe that vaccinations are a personal choice and are requesting that healthcare workers be able to get tested weekly as an alternative to getting vaccinated. Politicians, county health departments, and healthcare workers across the state are voicing their concerns that the vaccination mandate could cause a healthcare worker shortage, as mass resignations in hospitals and nursing homes are already being reported. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
All right, Dee, thank you for that. The Taliban today allowed 200 people, including Americans, to leave Afghanistan aboard a private flight from Kabul to Qatar. Marks the first flight out of that country since our departure at the end of August. Six charter planes with Americans aboard are still stuck on the tarmac in the northern city of Mazar-e Sharif. Retired Army Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg fears our withdrawal from Afghanistan will spawn a rise in terrorism like the world has never seen. He says it's much worse than the Iraq power vacuum that created ISIS during the Obama years.
It's basically the Wild West on steroids, and it's a well-equipped Wild West. Look, these people are not Jeffersonian Democrats. They don't like us. They don't act like we do. They don't have the same ethical or moral standards that we do. I have a bad feeling because of what we did. We're either going to have to go back in there or fight on the fringes because of what's going to come out of there.
Kellogg says President Biden lacks the fortitude to fight terrorists.
Remember, this is the guy who sat in the Situation Room as Vice President of the United States when the decision was being made to go after Osama bin Laden in Pakistan. He was the one who said, let's not go.
Former President Trump says the U.S. has never been less safe than it is today.
Who would move out the military first? The military goes last and safely. And sadly, those 13 great soldiers and 200 people were killed, and a lot of people are badly injured.
Do you think it is better to be feared, right? And that's the difference. They don't fear our president.
Well, I don't know if he just doesn't seem like they know what they're doing.
Trump on the Greg Gutfeld show on Fox last night. California Republican gubernatorial candidate Larry Elder was attacked by a woman wearing a gorilla mask yesterday while he toured a homeless encampment in Venice Beach. Charlie Kirk with Turning Point USA says the racist incident will get a pass from the liberal media because Larry Elder is a black conservative.
This is how black conservatives are treated. They have op-eds written about them in the LA Times. Larry Elder is the black face of white supremacy. This is how they treat Candace Owens. This is how they treat so many black conservatives. This person was wearing a gorilla mask. Could you imagine if that happened at any sort of Democrat event? It's disgusting.
Elder and his security team was physically assaulted, shot with a pellet gun, and hit with an egg. The GOP candidate is trying to unseat embattled California Governor Gavin Newsom in next week's recall election. Battle lines are being drawn all over Virginia. School boards in that state implement controversial new transgender-friendly policies.
People are going to be victimized, and the ones that are most vulnerable are these young students who rightly trust their teachers and their school staff members to do the right thing.
Tyson Langhofer of Alliance Defending Freedom.
It's contrary to evidence-based best practices, and when it's going to be harmful to the children, that's not something that any school district should participate in.
Under the new rules in Virginia, schools must recognize whatever name or pronoun a transgender student prefers and must allow transgender students to use whatever bathroom or locker room they want. Vice President Kamala Harris, Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf, and former President George W. Bush will all be in attendance on Saturday at the 9/11 observance in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. They are the keynote speakers. The 20th anniversary ceremony includes the reading of the names of the passengers and crew who fought the terrorists aboard United Flight 93. It's 25 past the hour. This is the Noon Report.
This is is Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, mom and author, Lucille Williams. Well, Lucille, raising kids can be a challenge, especially as Christians. There are all sorts of personalities. Obstinate, disagreeable, strong-willed, stubborn, and aggressive tend to be characteristics of what you call an impossible kid. How can we leverage these traits in children and come out victorious as parents?
Well, if you think about it, those are the exact traits we want our kids to have. I mean, minus the disagreeable, but that's what we need for leaders and for them to stand for what they believe. And when you have a child like that, you just have to nurture and not quench that strong spirit because it is good. And I think what we need to do is love them and be present. Because when you have a kid that's impossible, the challenge is not staying away from them. It's like they're driving you crazy, so you tend to avoid them, but we can't. We have to engage them. I remember one time I wanted to go somewhere with my daughter. I invited her, hey, you want to come with me and we'll go hang out and get some coffee? And she said, Mom, why would you want to do that with me right now? We're not getting along. And I said, yeah, well, if I stayed away from you every time we weren't getting along or you were being snotty, I would have missed half of your childhood. And we just laughed because it was true.
You bring out such a great point. Lucille, do you have any advice for parents with a child now voicing transgender identity or romantic interest in same-sex relationships?
I am so glad that you asked me that question. That's heavy, especially if it's a child that grew up in a Christian home. They know what you think. You've talked to them about the Bible, and they're probably carrying so much shame and guilt. And when they talk to their parents about it, the best thing a parent can do is just love and accept them. I'm not saying say, okay, it's okay to be like this or whatever, but these are their feelings. And we need to love our kids and accept what they're telling us. And then at that point, you can say, okay, well, how can I help you with this? What do you need from me? Now, if they ask you questions like, hey, well, you know, what does God say? Or what does the Bible say? And they really want to know the answer. Of course, have that discussion and tell them, well, this is what I believe, honey, and go into the Bible and tell them. But only if they ask, because they already know. And if we heap condemnation on them, it will have them fleeing. I mean, there's so many kids who stopped having relationships with their parents because their parents disapproved of the choices that they made in their life. And then they grow into adulthood and they just stop talking. They stop having a relationship. Yes, speak truth, stand for what you believe, but nurture that relationship and love that child through it and see if you can get to the crux of what is going on with them. Because, you know, God made us as sexual beings. We are going to have sexual feelings. That's just the way it is.
You believe that spending time one-on-one with your kids is so important, but especially for these stronger-willed kids. What were some of the ways that you and your husband did this with your kids?
Yes, they love the focused attention. Sometimes my husband and I, we would just look for windows of opportunity to spend time with them. If he was heading to the Home Depot or whatever, he'd go, okay, who's coming with me? And they all knew one got to go. Not all of them, just one, because that was their special time with Dad. And then I would do things like, hey, let's go to the park. Or when my daughter was young, I started something that I called girl chat time. And I had her brother go in his room to play for an hour. And we would sit down over coffee and she would have hot cocoa and we would just talk and she would just tell me what she was thinking about and I would just listen and listen. Sometimes she'd say things that were alarming and, you know, as moms you go, oh no, oh no, oh no, she just said this. But I just tuck that away and go, okay, that's for a later day. And so I always made those opportunities to just have one-on-one to connect and ask those important questions like, hey, has mommy hurt your feelings lately? Sometimes kids are rebelling because we've done something not on purpose, but we hurt their feelings and we didn't even know it. And sometimes my kids would say things and, oh, I was crying, go, I'm so sorry, you're right.
And you're modeling real life. You're letting them know that, hey, mm-hmm. none of us is perfect. We're not always going to get it right, but I'm going to have a spirit of humility and apologize for what I've done in a quest to try to make it better next time.
Exactly.
That's mom and author Lucille Williams. I'm Tracy Lynn. Life News.
All right, that's one mom that knows what she's talking about. Great parenting advice. Thank you, Tracy. The name of the program, Faith Under Fire, comes your way Thursdays during the Noon Report or online anytime. FamilyLife.org.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A cold front is crossing the area today and bringing with it showers and thunderstorms. Some of those storms this afternoon will pack a wallop on the I-81 corridor south of Syracuse, so I want you to stay skywise. Behind the front, cooler air works in, pleasant air as we head toward the start of the weekend. For this afternoon, showers and strong thunderstorms across parts of central New York, the eastern Twin Tiers, and central and eastern Pennsylvania. Those storms can contain gusting winds and downpours and localized flooding. Farther west, across western New York and western Pennsylvania, clouds breaking for some sunshine, a couple of stray showers. Highs in the 70s and near 80, dropping towards 60 tonight. Then cooler tomorrow, clouds, sun, a couple of scattered showers. High temperatures upper 60s to the middle 70s.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. Finally from us at noon today, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is a go this year. It's returning with crowds, balloons, and COVID rules.
Macy's is making COVID shots and masks mandatory for volunteers and staff and is limiting the parade to 1,600 participants. There are usually 2,000. Mayor Bill de Blasio.
We're working with Macy's that we can do this the full way, the right way.
You can expect to see high-flying character balloons, floats, performers, marching bands, and Santa instead of last year's mostly virtual parade. No word yet on viewing locations and access rules. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
All right, love the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. It'll be here before you know it. That's the world we live in. Thursday, the 9th day of September. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.